Blog Talk Radio.
One life to live.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Great to be here again. We are here. Prophetic Grace Network, Wednesday night edition with yours truly, Terrence and
Tanisha.
Oh, my lovely wife. Today is?
It's April 17th, 2024. It's 7:10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Welcome to PGN.
Yeah.
Prophetic Grace Network. We are excited to be here. As always, glad that you tuned in tonight.
Whoa.
Let's see what the Lord has to say.
Whoa. Yeah, really glad to be here. Again, before we get going, trust God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment, Lord. We just thank you yet for another opportunity to witness your amazing grace, to witness your presence, to witness the prophetic, to witness revelation, to witness love, to witness peace, and to open our hearts to receive all that you reveal to us. Even where we don't understand it fully, just know we need to understand what faith is,
mm-hmm.
and to fully trust you, to fully have faith in you over our understanding of everything. Lord, we just thank you for patience. We thank you for your guidance by the Holy Spirit. We thank you for humility. We thank you for always having us to check ourselves first, to check ourselves and to treat each other with love. With love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes. What a great week thus far. These days been rolling. These days been rolling. I don't know about y'all, but man, these days have been rolling. We're going to go to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, we're going to start at verse 7. That's where the Lord wants us to go.
You said Hebrews 3, 7?
Yeah. I hadn't read this. Well, I have read it, but he just said, go there right now. It reads, it says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do all err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you in an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And I'm reading that from King James, and I know my wife really loves the Amplified.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to read it again from the Amplified because I love King James. That's what I was brought up on, kind of, in a way. So yeah, ain't no kind of, in a way. This is what our protocol. So we say Hebrews 3, 7. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. And it's basically 7 through 15. All right. And it says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as your fathers did in the rebellion of Israel at Meribah. On the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing, my forbearance and tolerance, and saw my works for 40 years, and found I stood their test. Therefore, I was angered with this generation, and I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways, nor become progressively better and more intimately acquainted with them. So I swore an oath in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, the promised land. Take care, brothers and sisters, that there not be any one of you a wicked, unbelieving heart, which refuses to trust and rely on the Lord, the heart that turns away from the living God, but continually encourage one another every day as long as it is called today. And there is an opportunity so that none of you will be hardened into settled rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin, its cleverness, delusive glamour, and sophistication. For we, believers, have become partakers of Christ, sharing in all that the Messiah has for us, if only we hold firm our newborn confidence, which originally led us to him until the end. While it is said today, while there is still opportunity, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me in the rebellion in the desert at Meribah. So here we are. Lord, we just thank you for this word. We just thank you for revelation. We thank you just the Holy Spirit leads us through it, and we receive all that you want us to get out of it. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are. Here we are. It's so clear. It is like so clear where your heart has to be. Like, God is serious, as you can see, about doubt. A heart that doesn't believe is wicked. You don't believe, it's wickedness. And so we're in a time, he showed us in his word through this passage, during the time where he was faithful to the children of Israel for 40 years, and you still had people that wouldn't even believe. Even when he demonstrating daily, every day. But he warns us not to be like this. Like, God is showing us every day that we wake up, that he is who he says he is. The fact that you're breathing alone lets you know that God is who he says he is. And so it's so important not to doubt him. When you doubt him, that angers God. He was angry at these people. The evil heart of unbelief. Ms. Lisa was talking earlier, you know, us being in a time now where everything has to, quote unquote, be explained. It has to be confirmed. I need proof. When God says what you need to please him is faith, mm-hmm. his word is proof, because he can't lie. If he tells you, he can't lie, and he says what he says, and he says believe that. It's so simple. We make things hard when it comes down to serving the Lord. Mm-hmm. We'd be acting like he's going to take a globe off of the table and set it in front of you and make it spin in the air for you to get it. You just have to make a decision to either believe what God says or not. That is just so simple. You at this intersection, depending on where you are going, right, and where you want to go, that determines whether you make a left or a right. Mm-hmm. You just have to determine where you want to go. Do you want to serve God or not? Do you want to please God or not? That's left to right, depending on where you want to go. We try to complicate. We overcomplicate things trying to get things from God when God has already given you everything. You just have to access it through faith. You just have to believe that what he has released has been released. It has been given to you. Jesus said, it is finished. It is a done deal. I've completed everything. Ask and it shall be. How, when I ask, I believe in faith. I'm not asking God for nothing like, man, I hope it happens. I'm going to try it. No, believe it. A little belief will go a long way. Somebody call you with some hot gossip, you'll believe that.
Mm-hmm.
With no proof.
Word.
Yeah, just other than who brought it to you, because you, quote unquote, trust that person.
Right.
So if you claim that you trust God and God tells you something, what do you mean you don't believe him? Tabitha call your phone, you believe everything she's telling you. And you ain't back nothing up, reference nothing. You ain't follow up on nothing. You ain't checked nothing.
And then we'll tell other people.
And then go tell other people. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Go sharing it with no substance.
No confirmation.
No, nothing. But here it is. Here it is what God is giving us, the blueprint. And he's telling us how he feels about it. I thank him for revealing this tonight. This is how he feels about it, man. And when God is telling us something, we got to take him at his word. We ain't got to add nothing to it. We ain't got to take nothing from it. He said, verse 10, therefore I was angered with this generation. So if he was angry with the children of Israel, right? He was angry with that generation, right? I'm just going to ask, you think he angry with ours? Just strictly based on how we moving nowadays, to where we're really depending on what man says over what God says,
mm-hmm.
Where we are trying to fit in. With the world, we're really trying to be appeasing to the world. Does the scripture tell us to do that? I thought we were supposed to be being pulled out of the world to set the standard, and everybody that comes out of the world follows that standard. So we're not a part of the world. So we're not like appeasing to the world, because what the world does is opposite of what God wants us to do. People were still use principles, because it rains on the just as well as the unjust, but their mission is not to satisfy God or to please God. Us as believers, we're here to please God. Their faith ain't in God. Their faith is in systems. Their faith is in earthly gods and in formulas, machines. Their God is science, things of that nature. You know, everything that's been created is their God, but they don't give the glory to the one that created all and that dropped the knowledge on man to even come up with these things. Where do you think we tap into it? is the scriptures make it so evident on what we need to do in life, because when we don't believe, it's we perish. Not only do we perish for the lack of knowledge, we're going to perish when we don't believe in God. Mm-hmm. You don't believe what God tells you to do, you perish in those areas. Because if you don't have faith for it, don't be expecting it to happen. Like, I'm serious. Like, how? Like, what are you expecting when you're not doing the proper things? Like, you want to Uber ride. You need to get somewhere. You want to Uber ride to pick you up. But you never place the ride. You never go on the app to secure the ride. You don't do that part of it, but yet you dress at the door waiting on Uber to pick you up, but you never booked the ride. So you believing that Uber is coming, but you didn't work your faith. Like, we have a part to do. We have action to take based on what we believe. We need an Uber ride. Guess what? We take those actions of faith. We know Uber exists. Yes, we believe it. Uber has an app, so we go into this app. So we do the necessary things that we need to do in the natural to manifest that we believe, because we got somewhere we want to be. You thought about where you want to go before you get there. So these are acts of faith based on the decision you've made, the choice you've made. Mm-hmm. And so you booked your ride. So now you wait with confidence. It's a different type of way. You ain't waiting with where, like a hope and prayer, like, ooh, but knowing you ain't booked nothing. But when you know you have done what you're supposed to do, you've activated your faith. So now you know that your ride is on the way. Your ride is on the way. So God has sent a prophet to confirm it. So just like with booking your ride, it'll send you an update. Mm-hmm. It'll let you know who the driver is, what time they're going to be there, what vehicle they're in, what color it is. What is your preference when you want to ride? You like cool air? Do you want it quiet? Beverages? Conversation, no conversation, whatever. But you've taken the necessary steps to book it, and now it's responding to you. And so through faith, when you believe in God for something, and you put your faith out there, and you're constantly believing for it, and you're putting the work, and God sends a prophet to remind you, hey, of that particular thing. And you're like, yes. You're just getting an update. You're getting a notification that it's on the way. And so tonight, I just want to encourage you to really, really have faith in God and to take God at his word, to really believe what God says and really expect God to be God. Mm-hmm. However he so chooses to work and operate in your life, that's it. He is the source that provides every resource for you in your life. He determines what you're going to eat today and tomorrow and every day moving forward. He determines how well you're going to sleep, because these are the things that you turn over to him. These are the things that you believe for, because you trust that God is going to supply all your needs. He know you need these things. God really wants us to trust him like never before. He says, man, it breaks his heart, man. It hurts him. When we go astray in our hearts, mm-hmm. People serve him all the time with their lips. You got people, man, that quote scriptures back and forth, but ain't got an ounce of faith. Don't you be that person. We don't need to be the ones that have hurt God's heart. But we need the ones that will continually to encourage one another every day. As long as it is called today. And as long as we have an opportunity, man. There's one thing I always thank God for all the time, the opportunity. The opportunity. Because he's the one that provides us these opportunities. And we shouldn't take these opportunities that he gives us for granted. We should give God glory, step out on faith, and just believe what God says. Cast down these imaginations. Begin to call things what God calls them. Don't deviate from what God is saying. So we have to know what God is saying. What he said about things is still what he's saying about it now. It's still relevant. It don't change. If God says fornication is wrong, it don't change because it's accepted in society.
Right.
It don't change because the courts can divide the kids and you could just be a baby mama or you could just be a baby daddy. It don't change. You still got to answer to God for that. You still got to suffer. You got to go through. You got to pay for that. We go through it. Oh, man, baby mama tripping. Yeah. You release something, bro. You open the door. I don't know why he don't love me. You release something, sister. You open the door. The Lord didn't call women just to be baby moms. He called women to be wives first. Then mothers. That's the order. We do things out of order, but then we expecting God to bless us.
I think we confuse grace.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like we're tolerant. Like God is tolerant of the things that we do. Well, really, he has grace for what we do.
Yeah,
and God has been talking to me about this very thing that you're talking about how so many things are out of order. But as believers, we know what we're supposed to be doing, but then we do the opposite, and then we wonder why we have the results, and then we go looking at God like, why is this not happening? First, you have to acknowledge your part in
mm-hmm.
whatever circumstance that you're in.
Absolutely.
You're not a victim most of the time.
Mm-mm.
You went into it with full knowledge, but because you're in the world and get caught up in their mentalities and their ways, you disregard God's ways,
mm-hmm.
thinking that you can obtain true success because you see other people seemingly looking successful. But I'm telling you now, when you do things outside of God's way,
mm-hmm.
what looks like success is just failure waiting to happen. It's not going to last. And so we get caught up in the ways of the world. Oh, it's just a little white lie. Try to clean it up. You know, it's cool to we even mislabel things. Oh,
mm-hmm.
it's cool to have sex with your boyfriend as long as he loves me. First of all, if he's your boyfriend, it's not sex that you're having, you're fornicating.
Right.
Sex is within a marriage. Fornication is outside of a marriage, which is sin.
Absolutely.
But because the world calls it that, we even to pick up the language because there's a reason why God differentiates both of them.
Absolutely.
So that even when we're speaking on it, we are aware, there's an awareness that comes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're trying to call it and label it something that it's not. You can't engage in sinful acts and expect blessed, fruitful results. Sin produces deathly results.
Absolutely.
Because it's the absence of God. It's things that are sinful. It's outside of the realm of God, so it's in an evil realm.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how small it seems.
Right.
But God was just speaking to me about how we do things out of order, which means it's broken. Then when it doesn't work, we really will go to God looking for help, but not taking part in our role, not repenting of
mm-hmm.
what we did. Like, Lord, I know why I'm in this situation. I know I did the wrong thing. I
mm-hmm.
know I did this out of order, but now I come to you repenting of that, and I need help
right.
to get myself out of the situation that I got myself into, knowing better.
Right.
Help me to not make these type of bad decisions. Help me to identify. Like, we're not being honest with the Lord because we're not even being honest with ourselves. We're walking in delusion and instead we're just trying to be victim. Oh, anything bad always happens to me because you do bad things.
Mm-hmm. You'll be right here cutting up.
You sow bad seeds and you get bad results, but you're the victim. But you are responsible for your own seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So you get what you put in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because the word of God is clear.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be deceived.
Right.
God will not be mocked. Man. Whatsoever a man sows, that and that alone will he reap.
Yes.
So you sow bad seeds in the name of whatever, right? Because people always, the world has a very strange way of justifying bad behavior for everything.
Right.
Well, I only did that because they know you did that because you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what they did to you. You did it because you wanted to. Because
mm-hmm.
that wasn't the only thing that you could have done. You could have did A, B, C, D, E, F, and all the way to Z, but you chose to do A because you wanted to satisfy your flesh.
Period.
And you wanted to show them or whatever the case may be, but ultimately it goes down to because you wanted to do it. There was no gun, no knife came out, no poison came to your lips if you didn't do it. You did it because you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And the world will try to get you to justify your sin and justify your bad behavior so that when the consequence comes, you're somehow a victim. You're not a victim. You're a victor first and foremost. But if you really want to have true success in life, you need to take responsibility and accountability for your role in things. This is something that I have to do this too. So I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to all of us about this because the Lord has been speaking to me about that, about us as a whole, as a body of Christ, that we need to be honest with him when we be messing stuff up
mm-hmm.
and go with our little mess up and do an assessment, examine yourself and say, what could I have done better? And put your feelings aside because them feelings are going to lead you astray every time and say, did I have to do it that way? Why did I do it that way? Okay, I did it because of this, because I was mad or I was lonely or it felt good at the time or I was trying to show off or whatever your reason may be. And then ask God to help you kill that part of you if it's not breeding, if it's not yielding fruitful results.
Mm-hmm.
If it's coming from a place that's in opposition of what God tells you to do. Because that's something that we all have to learn how to kill. We all have to kill that flesh. That's why Paul said he dies daily. You have to die daily to what comes natural to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So just because it comes natural doesn't mean it's godly. Sin is, it comes natural to, it's natural for us to sin. It's easy to lie. It's easy to manipulate. It's easy to get into your feelings. It's easy to go off on somebody. Those things come natural because we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't use it as an excuse. Well, it just comes natural to me. It's natural for me to cut somebody clean out, but that doesn't make it right. So if I were to do that and then I yield a bad result, I can't say, well, that's just the way I am. That's my natural nature, but I have to kill that
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, Lord, what is the right way to handle this? Because I can't get into my flesh. I got to do it the right way, but if I do it the wrong way, I got to take that to the Lord, too. I did that wrong. I didn't do that. I didn't handle that right. Help me in that area, Lord. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Whatever you got to do, but
mm-hmm.
mean it. But as the body of Christ, I spoke briefly on this with Randy. I talked about this on the show some months back, but we are entering into a blood over the doorpost season, and we're coming up on Passover, which is where that whole term even comes from. Because the angel of death passed over the children of Israel once they put the blood over the doorpost. We are coming into that season of the blood over the doorpost this year. Where if you're not following the instruction of the Lord, whatever has come is going to affect your house and it's not meant to affect your house. So you have got to get your ear in tune and inclined to what God is saying, and you need to be doing the things that God is telling you to do. And if you're doing the wrong things, just stop. You don't have to keep doing the wrong thing. Just stop. And if you have a hard time stopping, take it to the Lord. Because he's the one who died for your sin. He's the one that said it is finished. He's the one that you can do all things through. And that will strengthen you. Not through me, not through Terrence, not through Randy, not through your mama, not through your favorite cousin or your mentor. None of us can do that for you. I don't think you understand how high the stakes are for your next.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Terrence was speaking earlier about trusting God. You have got to trust God. Like you trust your check going to be in your bank account on Wednesday or Friday or however, whatever. You trust that chair going to hold you up or that food ain't going to make you sick or your TV going to turn on and your car ain't going to blow up. Your tires are good. You have the ability to trust, but put your trust in the Lord above all things.
Mm-hmm.
Trust him. You claim he's your savior, right? You pray to him every day, right? But you don't trust him? You have to trust God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that trust thing is, it's a different phase, because first we hear about them, we learn about them, but then we got the trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only do you gain knowledge, you have to believe in that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And the belief is where the trust is. It's like when you read information about your phone, you know, you're trusting that the information that you're reading is there, so you believe it. So guess what you do? You go to your phone to perform
that
you've read. And you have an expectation based off of what you've read for your phone to perform based off what it said.
Mm-hmm.
And you activated your faith and you put in the work. Because faith without work is dead. So when God is giving you his word, you have to work the word of God. The word of God is trusting, believing that that is the word of God and standing on it, because it's not only for you, but it's for others. You know, Satan really wants you to make it about you. When Jesus just didn't die for you and you alone, he died for the person to your left, to your right,
yep,
to your front, to your rear, above you, up under you, east of you, west of you, northwest corner, southwest corner, wherever. Every human being, every man, God gave his life for. And it's up to us as believers to share it and to let other people know that this is what he gave for us to have eternal life. What Tanisha was talking about with the sin and us coming up, that's the importance of us being born again and being born of the Spirit, because mm-hmm. the Spirit reveals. That's how you come out of the shackles. That's how you are made free, because now you know what it is. You see things from the lens of God. You think of things with the mind of God. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. So how was Christ thinking about things? He was thinking about things the way God thinks about things. He knows that you are born in sin. We have to realize that we are, our nature is sinful. That's why we have to be born spiritually. We have to be reborn. We can't go back in there physically. So God is letting you know that it's a spiritual thing. It's inside out. It's inside out. You got to surrender. You have to surrender. And when you surrender, you enter into that place of rest with the Lord. It's that promise that he's giving you. But you have to believe. You can't enter into that place with unbelief. Mm-hmm. You can't enter into that place unwillingly. God ain't finna drag you to the promise. You holding back? No. You got to enter in. The door is open. It's for you to take those steps. And so we pray that God will give us the strength to look beyond our faults and really to see to our needs and really adopting that mind of Christ and understanding how Jesus really wants us to live our lives, and that we begin to live our life with the confidence that we can. The confidence. And knowing that we got to really guard what we're saying, guard what we're hearing. You got to begin to fuel up on things that are pure, things that are of good report. That's why the Bible tells us to think on these things, the good things. Because bad is all around us. Everything about you is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You born in sin, safe in iniquity. You can't go to God by yourself. You need some. You need an advocate. You need to be covered in the blood. That's what gives us access to God. Anybody talking about they had a conversation with God and they ain't mentioning Jesus? They ain't giving Jesus his just due? You ain't talking to the God I'm talking to. I know that for a fact. I know that because the word tells me that.
Mm-hmm.
Said no man comes to the Father except through the Son. Jesus said, except through me, by me. You can't holler at God. You don't even know who he is. If you don't know me, you can't accept him, period. That's just what it is. They one and the same. And so we have to fight against delusion. We have to really recognize that you as a people, we as human beings, because of sin messed us up. But we've been redeemed through Christ. And through him, we're able to do things. Through him, we're made righteous in the eyes of God. He knows. That's why he gave us grace. Grace is that gift. So we have to understand what grace is. We understand what grace is. Like, grace ain't there for you to overlook the things that you do and try to act like it's nothing. No, you have to recognize it and call it out. Yeah, Lord, I'm this is wrong. Because when you face your shortcomings and you face yourself for ways with the truth and you call them what they are, that opens the door for God to come in and begin to cleanse you of that. Because he does a work in you. So that thing that you were drawn to, that you felt like you couldn't shake. Yeah, you couldn't shake it. But when you let the Lord in, his word proves itself, because you can do all things through Christ, mm-hmm. which strengthens you. Where you are made weak, he's made strong. So yeah, you are weak. Be weak. But allow him in so that you can be strong in that area. God will block that person from calling you. He'll begin, you don't know how God will work. He'll begin to distract people. Cut things off for you where you putting pressure on yourself thinking, okay, well, how am I going to cut this person off? God can do that. Mm-hmm. He just needs you to be real with him. He needs you to come to him. He wants to help you. He wants to help us, but we got to have faith in him. And that's all I got. Amen. We want to get in here and try to get some calls in tonight, man. That was rich. That was rich. That was a good word, dog. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you. We thank you, Holy Ghost. Lord, as we prepare to answer these calls, Father God, we pray that you fill our lips with a mighty word. We pray that you fill our mouths with a purifying word tonight, and that it's a life-changing word will go forth to everybody that we speak to tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. First caller, 682-738. What it do? Where you calling from?
Hey, how y'all doing? This is LaShawn from
Texas. LaShawn. You know, I'll be trying to say it like Randy, man. I'm working on my Randy impression. Well, that's good to hear from you. Let's pray. Let's pray, LaShawn. Yeah. I got some for you too. Second Timothy 4. We're gonna start right there. Second Timothy 4th chapter. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into liars, fables. But watch, though, in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Preach the word. Lord, we just thank you for LaShawn tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the charge. We thank you for the charge. We thank you for the revelation and understanding where she is in this appointed time. It's like God is really showing you exactly where you are. Just like a navigation system, when we put in an address on Google, the first thing Google does is find out where you are.
Right.
And it maps a route to get you to where you want to go. So, but it needs to know where you are. Like, it can just identify a place on the map, but it can't specify a particular route for you until you let it know where you are. And so God is showing you exactly where you are so you can navigate your route. The Holy Spirit is like going to navigate a route. Like, you have to know where you are. You have to know what you're in. Because if you're in water, you know, you don't need on no metal boots. You need some swim gear on, you know. You need something that's going to float. You need some paddles. You need a boat. You need something that's going to help you maneuver through water. So knowing what terrain you're in, what environment you're in, all of these things come into play with knowing how to get out of what you're in to get to where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
I have to know where you are. We all have to know where we are in life, where we are, because where we are is so important to define our route to where we want to go, period. And that's with people in our lives, people that's in our lives, people that we minister to. You know, God has given you a word. God has put things in you to share with people. He's given you a ministry. He's called you to teach, to evangelize. And so you have to know where people are to even help them navigate to where they need to be. And so God is showing you like everything you've gone through in life is like he's showing you all these different areas where you've been and where people have been. And then you're at the place where you need to be. And so you're at that destination, that place of rest, that place of peace. And so you're able to help people navigate to that place. Because guess what? You have been where they've been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know the area. You know what I'm saying? It's like when people come visit the city, you know, I'm able to know where you are because I've traveled those roads. I've been to that side of the town. So I know how to get from there to here.
Mm-hmm.
And God is going to use you with people that's where you've been. But it's people that don't, that's wanting to get where you are. And you're going to show them how to get there. God's going to use you for that. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that, being like really evident to you, like really bold, like you really see it. Because what it's going to do, it's going to remove like the emotional part to it, to where it feel like, man, it seems like people be trying to come at you, but they really not coming at you per se. You know, they trying to get to what you got. They don't know how to get there. It's like somebody drowning and they just kicking and you tell them, hey, calm down. You got to stop moving because you're creating a bad situation for somebody to come in and give you help. Because with you kicking and doing all that, you'll mess around and hurt and drown the person that's trying to help you. Like, when you're in a dangerous situation, you have to realize that you're in that situation and listen to the one that's coming to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is going to teach you how to navigate that. He's going to teach you, like, who's really reaching for true help. He's going to teach you how to reach in, because, like,
Some people are the cause of their own deaths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Judas made a decision. He made a decision. And his decision had an end result.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there nobody to do? Nobody go say, hey, Judas, give me your hand. Oh, it was mm-hmm. a wrap. It was too dangerous to reach in. But God is going to teach you who to reach in and try to help. Because everybody that's drowning, you're not going to be able to help. Period.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it is. That's just what I got.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for LaShawn, Father God. We thank you for the increased discernment and giving her access to the heart of people to know what it is, what's going on with them, so she could effectively help them. And thank you, Father God, for giving her the boldness to speak the truth. Because a lot of times people will come at us about certain things and they're not being honest with us about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because as people, typically, we can only go by what a person tells us, especially when we're not a party to their situation
mm-hmm.
and the other people involved in the situation. So they're telling us from their perspective with a lot of the times they're not being honest about their role. You know, my sister and I were talking about that earlier. Like somebody can say, oh, you know, this person, they went off on me and I didn't do nothing. I was just sitting at my desk. But they failed to say that you've been antagonizing them through emails for 2 weeks and that you leave nasty messages on their desk and all this other kind of stuff. So they don't tell their part. But I see God really showing you the heart of matters
mm-hmm.
concerning people where you will... They'll think you're calling them out, but in reality, you'll just be telling the truth. And you're not going to have proof. So outside of God, which we don't need. When God tells us something, we know that is the truth. That's all the proof we need. But people operate in, I need proof. Well, how do you know that? And if you say, because God told me, now they will know that you're telling the truth. But because you don't have any tangible proof, they'll still deny, deny, deny. Knowing that you know the truth without having evidence and having no way of knowing and knowing that clearly God is the one who told you. And so it will teach you even how to deal with their relationship with God, deal with their belief. Because everybody that claims that they love the Lord doesn't. Everybody who claims to be a believer is not. So it's going to be like where, hey, if you're coming to me for help, I'm going to do just that because I'm not going to help you from a human standpoint. I can hear your story,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to take it. I'm going to take even what you said. I'm going to take that to the Lord
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, you know, get what I think at the time. Like, okay, that sounds like, oh, your coworker just went up and went off on you. Okay, well, let's go in prayer about that. And, you know, don't say anything to her. Don't make no moves yet. Let's go into God with prayer about that and see what the Lord has to say about your situation. And then when you come with the truth, they don't want to hear that. Then you already know what time it is. They're not looking for help. They're looking for a posse. They're looking for a mom.
Mm-hmm.
That's what some people do. They come to you with their problems, not looking to get actual help. They're looking for a mom to be on their side. Because people feel, you know, they feel real strong when they feel like they got people backing them. Yeah, I got LaShawn, I got this person, I got that person, that they can go back to the person like, yeah, I'm in the right, and I got like 10, 15 people behind me that's backing me up. That's the only reason why some people come to other people. You know, they come under the guise of, oh, I'm looking for help, but really they're looking for a mob. But God is really going to, you're going to like really know, like the heart of people. Which sometimes could be a very scary place, but it's only to help you operate in the truth, and it's also to help you manage your time, because sometimes you know somebody's got a hard, black, rotten heart, and they're coming to you because they know that you're a believer and all this kind of stuff. It's like, hey, I understand you came to me, but you need to get your heart right with God. You know, go seek Him, get into a relationship with Him. Come here, I'm gonna be praying for you, but as it stands right now with the state of your heart, if your heart is not open to the Lord, then I can't, ain't nothing I can do. God don't work for me. You know, I work for him. So if your heart is black, rotten, and hard concerning him, you can't receive because of the state of your heart. So get your heart right or do an assessment or whatever. So some people, you're going to have to, like, you know, send them along their merry way after letting them know this is the condition and this is what's going on with you. And so I could pray for you, but other than that, I can't do nothing for you. That's all I could do is pray. That's the best thing I could do. So Lord, we thank you for the discernment, Father God. We thank you for the knowledge, giving her knowledge that you have, because you only you know the heart. We have glimpses of it, because out of the mouth flow the issues of the heart. So we know that even when people lie, eventually, if we just keep letting them talk, what's going on in their heart is going to come out. But sometimes we don't talk to them enough to even get to that point where we are hearing the condition of the heart. But thank you, Father God, for allowing LaShawn the knowledge to know what is going on with the hearts of people so that she could be effective, so that she can truly help them, so that those who really want help can get the help that they need, to where she can not call them out, but to speak the truth, to say, hey, you've got a hang up from childhood that you need to get healed. And this is why you have this going on. This is stemming this behavior. And where they would even say, oh my gosh, yeah, I did have that going on. How did you know that? Mm-hmm. Well, God told me that. For people who are just faking and shaking and looking for a person in their mob, where she could say, okay, this is what's going on. You're highly manipulative, or you're not very honest, or you don't have a grasp of reality, or whatever's going on with them, so that they can either get it right or get gone. But regardless, they will be exposed to the truth and know that you see it, because they'll know that LaShawn had no other way of knowing, so that maybe you'll turn the light on in them, that even though they can pull the wool over the eyes of man, they cannot pull the wool over the eyes of God. So we thank you for that. Give her favor, Father God, favor, and help her to skip lines and like processes, things that have like a process. Help her to not have to follow the process of things, where she could just obtain favor. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Great word y'all was teaching on today, because I just had that frank conversation with my friend about fornication. You can't tell God got me and blessed me if you doing things that is not pleasing to his eyesight. So I'm send him the recording so he can go back and listen to it. Because mm-hmm. He just talked about this. I just talked to him about this.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's what it is right there.
So everything y'all said. You can't be sleeping with a girlfriend and a boyfriend and you want God to bless you. I'm telling you, I just had a conversation with him about that. So I'm definitely is going to send this out to him.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's it right there. Well, yeah. Share that word. Share that word.
Yes, you got it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh.
You can pray for Jamari. You can pray
okay.
for him, but you definitely going to send it out to him.
Okay, let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Jamari tonight, Father God. We just thank you for notation, like things being noted, where he's taking in account, like the markers, like the ahas, like getting aha moments, like, oh, okay, I see, you know, things becoming clear for him, in Jesus' name, really breaking thought patterns, because it's like a trance, sort of like a hypnosis, how like this generation is, because it's a spiritual battle, of course, but this generation has a plethora of spirits that are intertwined that are attacking the youth. Period.
Yes.
So we bind those spirits in Jesus' name to loose him right now in Jesus' name. release those thoughts like hands with chains on them, like trying to suppress his thoughts, like the things of God, the thoughts of God, because of societal norms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people tend to kind of like gravitate toward things that they don't even have anything to do with. Like,
mm-hmm.
you'll have people talking about slavery and everything that those that went through in slavery, but you never did it. And you're around here angry.
Yeah.
You angry, but the battle has already been fought and won.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's a trickery that the enemy tries to use where it gives some truth. Some
okay.
truth to get you to justify bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just thank God for that becoming clear for him. And he taking a stand against that in Jesus' name.
Yes. Lord, we thank you for Jamari, Lord. Thank you for the breaking of his heart, for him to feel what you feel about sin and about behavior and about relationship. Lord, let him see you for more than like a cleanup man. Like sometimes we do wrong. We know it's wrong, but we figure, oh, God will just clean it up. So we abuse grace. But help the Lord to feel the heartbreak of you, because it's deeper than just you not saying to do it. There's a reason why you tell us not to partake in certain things. There's a spiritual
mm-hmm.
Aspect to everything, because you are a spirit. So help them to identify that, to feel that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless y'all. Have a blessed weekend. Thank you so much. Enjoy the week.
You're welcome. Thank you, LaShawn.
You're welcome.
All right, let's get to our next caller here, 610-969. I know who that is, but say who you are, caller. You there, 610-969? Wait for you to unmute your phone. I hear your phone. You there? 610-969. Oh, sure. Her call dropped. Let me see if she calls back. I know who it is. See, I'm giving her a second. Looks like her call just dropped. Maybe her phone died. But that's Lisa. So I'll just pray over real quick. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Lisa. Father God, we thank you for the path being cleared out. It's like I see Lisa. It's like you feel like you're in a jungle. If you've ever studied jungles, like there's no visibility because the way the vegetation grows, it's pretty wild, right? So when people have to go through a jungle, they have to use a machete typically to cut through all of the vegetation to clear a path. But because the vegetation is so thick, you don't know what's in front of you. You don't even know what's on the side of you, because all you see is like vegetation. And sometimes that's how life feels. It feels like it's suffocating us. And we know to go forward, but we don't know what's in front of us. We don't know if behind that vegetation is a lion or a tiger or a bear or ticks or bad guys. We don't know. But this is where the trust comes in. If God has given you a path, you just follow the path and know that, like, the Holy Spirit is just going to, like, cut through the vegetation, cut through to get you where you need to be. And this is where the trust factor comes in. You know, we were talking about earlier, you just got to trust God, because sometimes you're not going to see. You really are not. You're not going to see what's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But just know that God is in front of you. He's ahead. So that's what you trust. You just say, okay, I don't know where this thing is going, but I trust God. That's it. That's all. That's the answer. So Lord, we thank you for cutting, Holy Spirit cutting through
and creating the path, give Lisa the peace that she needs mm-hmm. to continue the journey, to rest when she needs to rest, cry when she needs to cry, but to keep going forward. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go next person. 334-590, who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's Jayla.
Yep, I knew that too. Hey, Jayla, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you all?
Doing good. Glad to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Amen. You ready to pray?
Yes, I am.
I know you want some of this word too. I can feel it. I can feel it.
Okay.
Yeah, I can feel it. Let me get over here in my comfy space. Oh, yes. Word for Taylor tonight. We're going to go to Romans 4.
Okay.
Okay. All right, we're just going to go to Romans 4. Lord, we just thank you for Jayla tonight. And we're going to read Romans 4. He said go to Romans 4. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth and blessed of man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith, of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. And so that's a lot going on in there, but we have benefits connected to us, and we don't really have to do the work like that.
Hello. Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, so when Jesus died for sin, he covered sin, right? And so because of grace and what he did makes us righteous. So I want you to read that, and I want you to read, I'm not going to read it in Amplified tonight, but Romans 4, read that all the way through when the verse 12.
Okay.
Yeah. Verse 12, Romans 4, 1 through 12. And so, when God has things set in place, there are things that people did on our behalf that we benefit from because of the work that was already done, which then in turn makes it easier for us. But Satan then wants to tell us that it's hard. Mm-hmm. He wants us to act like we got to repeat things that have already been done. He wants to make it seem like you got to go and be crucified, that you got to go and go through all of that. No. You don't. Jesus went through that for us. But for his name's sake, yeah, we're going to suffer, right? But due to sin, Satan is always on the attack to try to get us to make sin comfortable. And I understand that it has already been paid for. The price has already been... the debt has already been... They count. We just have to believe it. And when we believe it, our actions line up to it. When we truly believe it. Because he says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Who did Jesus already? He's forgiven us of it. They want to make it seem like he ain't. Well, he always put this pressure on you, make you feel like, oh, Lord, I ain't worthy. Yeah, you're not worthy. You made righteous through the blood of Jesus. And that's what it is. That's the truth. So Satan has come with half-truths to try to bring about disparities. Try to bring this burden on you, which then have you feeling like you stuck in a particular place that you can't get out of. And you really not stuck. It's like someone drowning in like 2 feet of water. When all they got to do is just stand up. You can just stand on your knees. You can sit down pretty much in 2 feet of water, you know. But they're just moving and going crazy. Because they let their emotions and what they're thinking create their reality. Can you drown in 2 feet of water? Yes. Can you not drown in 2 feet of water? Yes. But it's two actions that have to take place, two different actions that take place for both of those things to occur. That's it. We recognize what we're in and we get ourselves under control. So Satan tries to make the things that we deal with seem so much bigger than what they really are.
Mm-hmm.
When it's the simple fix, when the Bible says that when we have to shun the appearance of evil, when we resist Satan, he flees.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have that resistance, and we know it by building the confidence on what has happened before us. When you go back and you go and see what Abraham did, and that we were all tied to him. Because through what he did, he said, everybody through him, all the nations through him will be blessed. So we're blessed. And Satan don't want you to know that. He don't want you to believe that you're blessed. He don't want you to walk in your blessings. He don't want you to share your blessings. He don't want you to tell the goodness of the Lord. He wants you to feel dependent on other people and not totally dependent on God. And that's what I got.
Yeah, Mother's Day for Jada, Father God. What I got was Joshua 1:8. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will be successful. Terrence and I talked about this scripture, I believe, last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember when I was going through a transition in my life and I didn't know what to expect. Things were like topsy-turvy. Things were crazy. And I just prayed and said, Lord, things are crazy. Like, I don't know. I don't really know what to do. And the Lord told me to read my scripture of the day, and it was this scripture. And at the same time that I'm reading it, I heard it being said out loud. And I was like, what was that? But when I looked up, I had the TV on, TBN, and Marilyn Hickey's ministry was on, and her daughter Sarah was reading that exact same scripture, but she read it at the same time that the Lord told me to read it. And so that's the answer. That's the key. You know, sometimes we're looking for a specific word from the Lord, but this is like a summary of it. Like if there was Cliff's notes on success and prosperity, because that's not always just financial. The world makes success financial. They say, oh, if you got so much money in the bank, you're successful, or if you have so much money in the bank, you're prosperous. But prosperity and success can be in any area. That could be in your health. That could be in your mentality. That could be in your purpose. That could be in anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what area it is that we're looking for prosperity and success. This is the key to not let the book of the law, the word, depart from your mouth, but read it and meditate on it day and night. So to read it and to think on it day and night so that you're careful to do everything in accordance with all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will be successful. That's the key. That's it. Read the word, think on it. Why? So that you can know it. Why? So that you can do it. Then you'll have problems. Then you'll have success. Because we'll do it wrong, take shortcuts, or so we think shortcuts, and then we don't get right results. And the Lord, like, what is what you doing line up? How does that line up to the word? Like, I'm not getting the success or the prosperity because what you're doing don't line up to what the word says about what you're doing. A lot of people don't realize it. That's why the word says people perish for lack of knowledge. A lot of people don't realize the word takes care of everything. There's nothing new under the sun. So it doesn't matter what the circumstance or situation is, it's in there. And there's a way to deal with it. There's a way to deal with people. There's a way to deal with circumstances. There's a way to even deal with ourselves and our fears and doubts and all the things that we go through. The word has an answer, and it has a way of doing things. But if we're not doing things according to what the word says, then we're not going to have the prosperity and the success. So we're saying, Lord, this specific situation, but the word is telling you, line it up to the word.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Like the word says, think on these things, things that are loving, things that are true, things of a good report. Because thinking on something negative doesn't change it. All it does change your body chemistry and makeup, because when you think about things, it literally releases toxins into your body. Your body literally has a physical reaction. You know, you ever like can't stand somebody and then like you hear from them, your heart will start beating rapidly, anxiety will start coming, your stomach will start feeling all bubbly, or you start feeling physically sick, or your brain will start stinging. Your body has a physical reaction to negativity. So there's no benefit of thinking on those things. But if you acknowledge it, but then think on the good things, your body will also have the same reaction to thinking on good things. It will relax. Your blood vessels will open up. There's literally chemicals, endorphins, right? Dopamine, all sorts of feel-good chemicals that will release when you're thinking about things. And all this adds into what the word of God says about that peace that surpasses understanding. The word says it, but science backs it. Because even when you cry, science backs when you cry. If you cry about something that's angry and you analyze your tears, there's toxins in those tears versus if you cry about something that's happy. The tears are not the same. When you analyze the tears, what's in them is not the same.
That's why sometimes you need to cry things out. Get that toxin, get that stuff out of your body. But mm-hmm. it ain't the same as happy tears. So there's a reason why God knows how he made us. But the ultimate Cliff's Notes, if we want prosperity and success in any area of our life, we got to do what the word says. We have to do what the word says. It's insanity for us as believers to know what to do and not do it, but expect the godly result. But God is telling us how to get the godly result. He put it in a book. He confirms it when what he says is going to happen, happens. Man will tell you, oh, yeah, you do this and you're going to have guaranteed success. You know how many prosperity speakers and motivational speakers have told people that and they don't have no success? Because mm-hmm. I feel like men that he should lie. Man will lie without even trying. They ain't even trying to lie. They ain't even trying to scam or hustle you. But they're not all knowing. And man can't dictate nothing. They could tell you what they think, but they can't give you a definite unless God told them what the end result is. But through God, you're always going to have, if you follow his plans are to give you success. It's not to harm you. The world's plan is to harm you. They just wrap it up all pretty, put a little bow on it, dress it up, put a little sugar on it, make it taste a little palatable, but it don't work in the end. It's mm-hmm. a success or the prosperity. It's a smokescreen. It looked that way, but it's not that way, because just give it a little time, and it's going to show what it really is. It was really just a delayed failure. That's it. So that's the word, is to meditate on it and speak it. So read it, think it, speak it. Why? So you can do it. That's it. Just do what the word says. It sounds easier than it is, but where it's difficult, you take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I know your word says to do this, but I'm having a hard time with that. I don't want to do that. So help me line up to do. I remember I had this boss that I really didn't like. I wanted to really go off and serve her. I really did. And I really had the ammo to do it. I knew enough about her where I could have really shredded her and just knocked her down. Not a peg. I could have knocked her down probably about 1,000 pegs. And I wanted to do that, to humble her. But I took it to the Lord and he said, don't do that. I'm like, but I want to. And he's like, no, do this. Pray for her, mm-hmm. be kind to her. And I'm like, I don't want to pray for her, be kind to her. I want to knock her down about 1,000 pegs. And he's like, no. I went in full honesty and transparency, and the Lord told me what to do, and I did just that. I did what he told me to do, but I did take it to him like, I don't want to do that. I hear you, Lord. And he took me even in the word of how to deal with people who come against mm. people who be on some other time. Some, everybody ain't on your side. They not nationwide, you know? So that was her. She was like one of those ones smiling. A whole different type of time, but he told me how to deal with her, and I received success in that area where she was trying to do things to come against me. Everything that she tried failed. Mm-hmm. So I had the prosperity and the success in that particular area. Why? Because I did it according to God's way, and that's what you got to do. Every single area of your life. He wants to be Lord over every single area, not just this one and that one, the whole kit and caboodle, all of it. He wants to be Lord, not just for your salvation, but for your life, because he wants to give you life and life abundantly. Some of us don't have abundant life because we're not doing it according to the scripture. So we got life, but we don't have no abundance. He didn't die to give us life and poverty. That's not what he died for. He didn't die for that. We need to take advantage of everything and leave no crumbs on the table. Take it all, but you got to do your part. Lord, we just thank you for Jayla. We thank you, Father God, for giving her the boldness to do what needs to be done. If she got to unplug from things, if she got to uncouple from things, if she has to abandon some things, let her do what she needs to do what the word is telling her to do. Let her let all those other things take away even the taste for the distractions and all the other things, the things that's keeping her away from doing it your way, because you desire for her to have success. You desire for her to be prosperous
in every area of her life, every single area, not just over here and over there, but the whole thing, and help her to identify the things that are not lining up. I mean, a lot of times it's going to show itself because the fruit don't lie. It don't produce. It's dead. You put it in the ground, and now nothing's coming out. You just keep water. Why are you wasting your water? Because it's not producing. So show her those dead areas, those dead situations, dead people, dead circumstances, dead thoughts, dead mind patterns, dead whatever is dead and not producing and just in the way and just taking up space. Show it to her, Father God, and help her to undo so that she can do what needs to be done so that she can have the prosperity and success. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wow. You are always on time.
Praise God.
Wow. I'm going to have to meditate on all of this because it's like literally everything that I've been taking to God and trying to like what he's been showing me lately and like just leaving things and surrendering things to God and just really just revealing things in me, because it's like I feel like I've gotten a lot wrapped up in almost like victimizing myself and feeling like, oh, this circumstance has happened, and you know, kind of reacting to certain things and feeling justified in the way that I'm reacting because life has been going for me. And God is just showing me, like, even in the midst of me going through all these things, whether it's family, romantic relationship, work, literally every area of my life, like you were just saying, like, revealing to me, like, okay, this happened, but I'm holding you to this standard. And that's very hard, so, you know, when things happen and it's not in the way that you feel like, you know, God shouldn't have wanted this to happen, whatever the case may be. And it's just, like, to hold yourself to a certain standard and still love people and still show up and be the person of God, it's, like, easy. So, wow. Like, wow.
Yep, you got to make a habit of it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make a habit of not even, and God will teach you about people. Like, where people are going to disappoint, they're going to lie, they're going to be backstabby, there's all these things with people. People are really jacked up. That's why they need Jesus. And God will kind of, like, he'll almost deaden you to people, to where instead of getting mad when they are a certain way, you pity them. Where you're like, you know what? Man, you got to be really messed up to not see what you're doing. Let me pray for you because you're really sowing some really bad seeds and not even wanting them to sow those seeds. Because sometimes, you know, in the beginning, you'd be happy like, oh, you did me like that? All right, well, that's your, you're going to reap that. Oh, well, you go, and you feel good about that. But you get to the point where you don't, where you feel sorry for them because you know God is real. You know his word don't lie. So you're like, man, don't even do me like that, not because I don't want to deal with it, but because I don't want you to reap that. Because what you're trying to do, that weapon ain't going to prosper. But that seed will produce. See, that's the beauty of dealing with God. Has controls in place. When people try to do things against you as a weapon and you're a believer, now, weapon won't prosper, but that seed that they sowed, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that and that alone will he reap. So it's like a backfire. They didn't do it to you. They did it to themselves. Because what they tried to do to you as a weapon ain't going to prosper, but that seed that they sowed, oh, they will reap it. So you'll start to look at things different, like, oh, how sad. Poor person, like poor you. You really, you tried it, and it's not going to work, but God's going to use it to strengthen me. God is going to use it because he makes all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So you basically helped me out. You sharpened me. You helped expose in me, right? Because sometimes you think you're good and you're like, I got this. That's behind me. And then something happens and then you have a negative reaction. And you're like, oh, I thought I was past that. Mm-hmm. And so what the person did, now God is using it to reveal, no, you still got it in you, but let's work it. Let's work it out. So you helped me still. Because now I see what I got in me that don't need to be in me, what I need to work on. But the weapon you tried to form, that's not going to prosper. But that seed you sowed, you're going to reap it. So God will change your perspective on people. And sometimes you will have rough days where you really just want to uppercut somebody or go off. You'll have those days because you're a person. You know, you're still fighting flesh and emotions and all those things. But you'll get past that. But the key is to just do it
God's way, to know that that's success. So when those thoughts come in your head, like, nah, don't do it that way, do it this way. Nah, success. Because the key is to be successful. The key is to be prosperous in that area. I could stir up contention, right? I could fight, I could battle, or I can make it to where I have success and prosperity in this particular area. But I only could do that if I do it God's way. So God's going to change your mind about things. So it's not that the circumstance is changing. It's just how you're viewing it is changing. Mm-hmm. And then when your mentality changes, your actions change, and then the circumstance changes. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to just, like people be saying, trust the process. You got to really trust the process. Because it's true. We're like, why should I do this? Why should I think on this? Because when you think on it, you're going to build faith for it. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So if you're thinking about it, even in your mind, and you're speaking it out loud, and you're reading it, you're going to build faith for it. And when you build faith, the action comes, the work. Because it's not real faith if a work doesn't follow it. That's a dead faith. That you made it up. You know, you say, oh, I believe this, but then you're doing that. Now, you don't have faith for that then. Because your body going, the action going to follow the faith. Now you're doing something different. Now everything's different. So first it starts with getting that word, meditating on it day and night, speaking it, doing it. Then everything is going to change. And people are going to say, man, you turned that around. I didn't turn that around. The Lord turned it around. I did it according to his word.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I ain't got to be smart. I ain't got to be nothing but obedient. That's it. I ain't got to take no credit. Just the Lord. He told me in his word how to do it. Period. And you just do it.
Amen. Wow.
Amen. Well, we are out of time. We actually went a little over time. Thank you for calling in. You know, we love you and we're always praying for you. And
I love
you too. So for those we didn't get to, I'm going to do a collective prayer over you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everybody that called in, whether they have their hand up or not. Father God, be with them during this week. Reveal yourself. Be more real to them than you've ever been. I'm believing for divine encounters, Father God, with your people so that they can build faith. They can trust you, Lord. Help us all to just trust you, Father God, to trust you like we trust the news and trust these people that we hold in high regard. Help us to trust you, Father God. Love on your people, Lord, and just continue to bless them and grow them and give them a hunger and a thirst for your word. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for calling in, guys. Call back 845, call the Randy Show. Let me give you the call-in number real quick. It is 319-527-6737. Call at 845. Hit 1, get in the queue. Typically after he prays or after he gives a message, he prays over everybody whose hand is up. And that's how you get your hand up. You hit 1, that puts you in the queue. So we love you all. We're always praying for you, believing the best for you, and just believing God for breakthroughs for you, healing, for all the good things, for the abundant life. So until next time, we love you all. Good night.
Good night.